Welcome to the Morbid Anatomy Transmission. I'm your host, Molly McBride Jacobson. Whether you live in New York or not, you know Times Square as this playground for tourists, basically. It's got the M&M store and the American Girl doll store, but it wasn't always that way. Times Square and 42nd Street used to be the sex district. They housed peep shows and adult bookstores galore. Giuliani, however, cleaned it up and made it into the amusement park that it is today. During the twilight years of Manhattan's sex district, director M.M. Serra was walking through and happened across a discarded box of 16mm peep show films. Out of a year-long collaboration with fellow filmmaker Josh Lewis, these films became a singular piece, enduring ornament. With abstract alterations to the film strips themselves and the 1920s Dada poetry of Baroness Elsa von Freytag-Loringhoven, the film is a comment on bodily spectacles of yesteryear.
I run the Filmmakers Co-op. I'm a director. We're the oldest, largest distributor of experimental avant-garde film and video. And I knew Josh Lewis and his work. He joined. But when we went to University of Colorado, there was a conference on art films and film labs. And I was invited because I was actually working to preserve a filmmaker's film, Richard Meltzer's Bogus Boxing Trash, which we got an NFPF grant for. And I saw Josh Lewis's work, and all my work deals with the body and creative expression, but also poetry. And I thought his work was interesting. I loved how he presented it. And so I approached him or thought maybe that we could collaborate because I have a collection of porn. I collect films because I'm in an archive anyway, but I collect personal films and films from 42nd Street. When the peep shows years ago went out of business, they put the films in boxes on the street. And
about when was that?
That was about, when was that, John? 2000?
Really?
Late
okay,
90s.
Okay, so that's pretty recent.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe it's late earlier. I didn't write it down. The peeps themselves are very old. They're from the 40s. Mm-hmm. So what they would do is make a print and then keep making more generations of the same film mm-hmm. for decades. And what I liked about the peeps were as historical documents. It tells you about the culture and the construction of male and female and femininity, but also what the sex industry was about in that time period. But I wanted to not just show them as peeps. What I wanted to do was to not subvert them, but transform them and add a layer of discourse and dialogue and communication or expanded or transgressive is what I wanted to do. I wanted it to be transgressive, not just entertainment or a historical document.
Sure.
So when I saw Josh's work and I felt that he had a literate and literary and poetic quality to his work, I hope that's all right.
No, that's fine.
We looked at a couple hours worth of stuff, stag films, explicit films, but...
Right. And there's a lot of different kinds of, I don't know, pornography, I guess, but... And we did watch some sort of, like, longer stag films or kind of more hardcore things, but I think we settled on these kind of short, tame peep show films. I think they had kind of a nice play of tensions in them.
Josh has these 19th century photochemical books, and we would be testing it out. And if, like Morgan Sage, if we put too much bleach etching on it, the emulsion would wash away. And then would be disappointed. I'd be depressed. And
that being said, the originals, quote unquote, were actually had been reprinted like to death anyway. I mean, these are
These copies of copies?
Yeah. Or are they, I mean, the original negatives for these have been lost a long time ago, and it was sort of just the nature of these peep show films that they had been spliced and then reprinted. I mean, they have not been archived in any kind of loving way, but we treated our originals as, you know, the first. And
but what kind of condition are they in when you're getting them?
We're actually going to show you the original, two of the original peeps at the Museum of Morbid Anatomy, and then you'll see the transformation. So we're going to show Nudie Doody Rancheros. They have a comic element to them, or sweetness. And then we're going to show Guide to Romance or How to Hold Your Husband. Mm-hmm. And so you'll actually see, and it's from the 40s at that time, just a woman taking her blouse off or turning around and facing the camera was because of laws of censorship, because the Motion Picture Production Code was illegal. So that now it seems really tame. And
My sense of it is that these would have been playing in sort of back projected standing looping mechanisms, and they might have been private little booths, or they might have just had like kind of a panel for, you know, so your head remained anonymous or your face remained anonymous. But yeah, I mean, these were things that were kind of in the back of adult bookstores, and you know, it was sort of this weird tension between like a public and private experience where you would either look through a little hole. I mean, a lot of these things said like for art students only or something like that as a way to get around the laws.
For men. It's for men. You actually, there one time that I went into an adult bookstore with a friend, they had a curtain and they had a projector, and it was in like the back of the store, and it was run on a projector and kind of looped, and you would turn the projector on and see the peep show. But it was for men, like adult bookstores, adult men. Women didn't actually go, and it wasn't for their entertainment so much. It was like brothels, and 42nd Street was adult entertainment. But the first, like in 1970, is when like Deep Throat, Behind the Green Door, those feature-length grindhouse films, women actually went in and saw them. We looked at some hardcore colored film, and we decided not to do the color films or the hardcore. We chose a particular time period, like Josh. Well, it was an agreement between the two of us. We say, well, it's not as censored, but there is forms of self-censorship or political correctness. And I don't think that's why we did it. I think we did it because I think that they were, each peep is like 5 minutes, maybe a little longer. And the porn tended to be longer. The hardcore was longer.
And I think that this older material also had more inherent tension. Like, I don't think this is material that you were meant to completely be able to dive into and, like, be there. Like, I don't think you were supposed to get off with this material. I think this was stuff that, I mean, you would have put a coin in and then it would have stopped after, you know, there's
it's titillating.
Yeah, right. So I think the kind of the tease element and like the tactile element, I think we found more interesting than just sort of like straight up pornography.
The thing with Enduring Ornament, the film that we created, is that we added the soundtrack, and the soundtrack added an important element to the film, because the visuals I think are very beautiful and very layered, and at one point almost go completely abstract at the end. We ended up using Baroness Elsa von Freytag Lornhoven's poetry because she spoke about the body. Body Sweats, her poems, we went through and looked and talked about what we would add into the soundtrack to give it a voice or another layer of meaning rather than entertainment. Mm-hmm.
What exactly is it that you guys have done to these films, just on a technical level, to abstract them?
Josh was talking about its sweetness, but also he talked about how they're contact printed so that they started deteriorating. You can see the scratches, they're blurry, they're gray. So when Josh rescued this contact printer in Ohio and he brought it back, we could create new negatives. And Josh can, I wrote down the chemicals that we used, and what we did was deconstruct the film surface itself and create different toning, bleach etching, solarization. So we treated it like the body of the film surface itself became more apparent. It's a filmic body, I would say.
Yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's also very bad for your lungs, and I like this element that we put on. We had Josh is into ritual, so am I. I mean, with a name like Maria Magdalene. So I put on a face mask and put the aprons on. It's very tactile, mm-hmm, and visceral, and I even like the smell, even though it's toxic. I think that it adds a layer. It brings you into the process more,
yeah,
than say digital, which we did edit it digitally, but we did a really good, excellent transfer of the peeps, and we had a long discussion about using the peep film and then transferring it. But we got we both think a good transfer.
Yeah, it's a long film to finish on film. There's a lot of extra costs that would happen with that. Not that we might do it at some point, but...
Yeah, I think we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Without giving too much away, what is the event going to be like? What can people expect out of it?
On film and digital, early representations of like Chiquita Banana ads the dancing banana, the animated banana, before television or the internet was so controlled and censored and filtered. So it's very phallic. You're going to see the original peeps. It's like a historical overview of interesting, amusing ads, peeps, porn.
And you've mentioned briefly like hardcore versus softcore, which I'm sure back then meant something very different than it does now. You're shrugging. Do you think that's not true?
Hardcore has ejaculation. It's called the money shot. I know this because I teach sex, gender, and media.
But the films that we use to make our film, I mean, they're not even softcore, really. I mean,
I don't think they're porn, really.
No, I mean, they're kind of like this other subgenre of like peep show films, where they're really just a single girl in some sort of light genre thing. You know, she'll be like a cowgirl or whatever. And I mean, yeah, there's no. I think maybe there's one man who shows up in these. Out of however long the whole
but
thing
men
is.
Men are the viewer, men are the spectators. Actually, it's more like striptease. Remember Breathtaking Sights? There's one that's a Breathtaking Sights, and the woman is actually in like a little G-string. It's one of my favorite scenes, where she just turns and spins around and very burlesque-like striptease towards the camera. The camera is
but a lot of them aren't professional performers. Yeah. At least they don't look like it. I mean, it looks like, you know, someone who is just convinced to do this thing for a day, you know.
A couple bucks, yeah.
Yeah, and
it's an actress. They were probably actors, and they needed to supplement their income.
Right.
And it was easy money. And it looks, a lot of them, we were talking, are outside to get adequate light. The interesting thing about the ads is, like, the Chiquita banana, or if you feel it, peel it, that's a line from one of the bananas ads.
If you feel it, peel it.
Yeah, I mean, they are connecting their product with, in a very soft way, with porn, and that's why we put them in the program.
As you've been talking about this, it makes me think, where do you draw the line between, you know, these films being shown in some back room of an adult bookstore and it being done for academic purposes? Like, what do you think is, where do you think is the line between the two, or is there one?
It's about money, because I actually was walking down the street on Ludlow, and there was a porn shoot in the window in one of the, and it happened to be a friend I know, so I went to watch. And it's very interesting.
Yeah.
New York is a wonderful place to live. I highly recommend it. And so I went to watch, and it's very fast, and it's very physical, and then it's over. Like, we spent a year, over a year, maybe 13, 14 months working and transforming. Our film has an aesthetics to it. But porn is about it's about the sex act and arousal and about making money.
I think that these lines have always been blurry. Like I was saying before, in these peep machines, it said for art students only. So there's this sort of play to, oh yeah, this is just for academic purposes, but like obviously the people who are looking at these things are, you know, horny men.
That's right.
Well, that leads me into my next question, which is, have these films and working with these films revealed anything to you guys about, anything new at least, about how the sex industry has changed from then until now?
I think that gender has expanded. There's still the binary opposition, men and women, obviously here we sit, but there's also the queerness of it. You know, that it's expanded to transgender, transsexual, and I think it's a more interesting time and more exciting. And just the fact that it can be an academic discipline, I think, is, and I hope it can stay that way.
Yeah.
My last question is, do you guys have favorite films out of the ones that you're working with? Do you have, like, Your angels?
No angels. I have a favorite. No, I shouldn't say that, because then I like the breathtaking sights, the stripper, the striptease, the blonde that just spins around. I was very attached to the grace and the beauty. She's almost like ethereal.
That one is interesting, too, because it's so clearly been spliced together from a bunch of different sources. Like, there's something like 5 different women in there in the course of, like, a minute and a half or something. It's just this crazy hodgepodge of kind of strip performances.
Loose ends.
I liked How to Take a Sun Bath, which is a tutorial on how to take a sun bath, which is just so it's generic. Just so dumb, yeah. and mundane, you know, like at the end she takes her clothes off briefly and that's it, like that's all there is to it. But it has this kind of like patriarchal voice about like how you're supposed to do it,
right?
And it just, I mean, it's just so silly.
It's really the most beautiful,
yeah, I should say that each one of the different peep shows sort of started to demand different approaches in terms of how we were going to treat it. And I think we were actually really scared of How to Take a Sun Bath for a while because it was so mundane and there wasn't a lot of action in it. You know, with the striptease one, you know, there's bodies in motion, and this is just like, you know, like a dead fish or something. But it actually pushed us to do something pretty good with, I think. And I think that ended up being kind of our favorite peep that we ended up making.
Mm-hmm. I think we worked harder on it. We spent months reworking it. And it's experimentation and, like Josh says, play. And mm-hmm. I look forward to it. We worked mainly on Sundays, but sometimes we'd work on a Friday or something. It was like the highlight of what I was doing was to go out to the lab. And it would be either cold, really cold, but it didn't matter. Once we started working and we kept a notebook and a scrapbook of everything, and it was just magical, right?
I hope you think so, too.
That's all for this episode of the Morbid Anatomy Transmission. M.M. Sarah and Josh Lewis will be presenting their film, Enduring Ornament, at the Morbid Anatomy this Saturday, February 13th. If you want to impress your Valentine with something a bit more than the standard champagne and roses, this event is the way to go. On the 25th is the very first installment of the Morbid Academy series. It's a monthly dialogue on the ill-considered and the unknown. The next transmission will feature an interview with the host, Mitch Horowitz, so stay tuned. Tickets for all events, as well as everything else you might want to know, are available at morbidanatomymuseum.org. Also, please subscribe to the transmission and write a review if you have an opinion. Also, thank you so much to all of those who do subscribe. You're all my Valentines. Today's last words come from Josephine Baker. After her advances were rejected by a man several decades her junior, she said, "Oh, you young people act like old men. You have no fun."